Welcome to your number one source for technological innovations, ideas, and strategies for your business. Multiply your business's equations and put the odds in your favor. Now, live from Club IT HQ with your hosts, Ben and Sam, this is Tech Factor.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sam.
And this is
The Tech Factor.
Welcome to our fancy new studios. This is our first iteration of our dedicated podcast studio. We're very excited with this. And so with the new episode, this is going to be season two, episode two. And as usual, the Tech Factor is all about, it's a podcast all about driving business productivity, innovation, utilizing technology. But these days, it's almost every single day about cybersecurity because it's such a massive issue, particularly in 2023. One of the things we felt compelled to talk about was particularly because being a partner of this particular company, 3CX, we wanted to really talk about what happened with this, what type of mitigation measures you may need to do to keep yourself safe. So let's just start from the top. Sam, do you want to tell us a little bit about what happened and I can go into some more detail of the attackers?
Yeah, of course. So on April 27th, 3CX, which is a company that provides voice over IP, also known as VoIP services, to a very, very large section of the population of the world.
I think they said over 600,000 customers worldwide.
Yeah, and some pretty big names in that as well.
Exactly, so, a lot of multinationals.
So they had what is being described as a data breach, but I believe it is quite more complex, and we'll touch base on that shortly. But the attackers gained access to a database of customer names, phone numbers, and email addresses, but I don't think that is all.
Yeah, so basically, we've done a little bit of our own research in this, and we work with a number of partners across the cybersecurity landscape. Essentially, what happened is so 3CX, the 3CX phone system has a multitude of different components. So it has a component which runs the physical phone system. Now, 3CX in recent time has been encouraging people to utilize their platform as a completely cloud-based platform. The vast majority, when we're talking 600,000, the vast majority of those would still be physical instances of 3CX installed across individual network around the world. So that I would say 90% of them would still be physical 3CX instances configured elsewhere, not within 3CX's own infrastructure. Now, the 3CX phone system contained a multitude of different things. There's hardware, so you might have hardware phones. You've got the IPBX, that's basically the software that runs the phone system. And you've got some web functionality. So you've got things like what they call the 3CX web client, which allows you to do some phone functionality through a web browser. And then they've got some of the lesser used functions, which is they've got their what's highly used, which is their mobile apps. So the mobile apps are fantastic.
They are.
And we actively use them a lot in our own business. And so they have Android apps and iOS apps, which allow you to make phone calls and do all kinds of things and leverage the 3CX features. One of the lesser used applications is the 3CX desktop application. And that's where this comes in. So 3CX have an application that you can run on Windows to allow you to make calls on your Windows computer, like how you would do with Skype or Microsoft Teams or the myriad of different types of platforms that people would use for traditional soft phones.
Yeah.
The thing is that, and certainly in our experience, so we have a number of different 3CX installations across the country. And our 3CX installations, we've never used the desktop application once. So in terms of the net effect of it, I'm not so sure about the total of potential effect of this cyber attack, but we're going to get into detail exactly is what it did and how it could affect a 3CX customer. So basically, the way most malicious actors get in is they get through legitimate means. And this instance was like any other, right? So this desktop application, like any other application on your computer, has the ability to perform updates. Now, an update allows, what happens traditionally with most update systems and most applications is it sends a message to a server every often and says, hey, there's an update. And it goes, oh, okay. And then it downloads that update from a certain location, and then it executes that code to then run on that device to perform whatever actions there are to do the update. Now, what's happened in this instance is that a cyber criminal has been able to find an exploit in that update process, which has enabled them to basically inject their own application into the update process instead of the actual legitimate 3CX update. So it would go through and do an update, except it would actually fetch it from a malicious source, and it would actually be then executing malicious code, which effectively allowed it to execute ransomware on the device that was utilizing the 3CX CSAP application. Now, I would suggest this is a very small instance of actual 3CX installations, because it's just not something that does get heavily used. There's a myriad of different and better platforms when we're talking desktop communications. Like, we use Microsoft Teams ourselves quite internally a lot. But essentially, that allowed it to execute malicious applications, such as, obviously, it's a piece of malware that it's executed. And then from there, it can work its way across someone's potential network and do all kinds of damage and regular damage. So whether I wouldn't necessarily call it a data breach. I would call it a vulnerability and a cyber instance that's basically allowed a malicious actor to execute code. Once that became active, it's being crammed down pretty quickly. So from what we've read and what we understand in the cyber instance, the servers where this lowest code was executing have been shut down. There still may be other ways for them to do that. But again, 3CX have released patches in relation to that to lock all that down. So I guess, Sam, and I'm just trying to, just now that I've spoken a little bit about the vulnerability.
Yeah.
I guess I'll get your initial take on it.
Yeah.
And maybe let's talk a little bit about, if you're a 3CX customer, like, should you be concerned and what should you be doing?
Basically? Yeah, for sure. So I suppose the first thing that comes to mind is, like, with these companies, it's a large multinational company. How does this happen? And it's pretty much comes down to, it's the exact same way it can happen to you at home. Basically, this a staff member at 3CX downloaded a completely legitimate bit of software that actually had been maliciously tampered with and infected the staff member's computer at work. And obviously, whoever started this attack was very clever to figure out who they had access to and made quite a big plan on how to do it. It definitely wasn't just stumbled upon a mistake. And in layman's terms, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that can happen, and it can happen to anybody. And it just comes down to some really serious due diligence, and big companies probably should have a little bit more control over what staff could probably download. In reality, that staff member probably shouldn't have been able to download software from a website without an IT administrator present or allowing it. But again, that IT administrator may not be privy to the potentials that that software could have had. It's very unfortunate that this has happened, especially for 3CX and their customers, but it looks like they've gotten on top of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, so it seems as though it's one of these things, like, you read, like, I'm just double checking, I'm through scrolling through their press release again now, just to reiterate and go through some of the things that they've talked about. And we've gone through with our cybersecurity partners and looked in detail about their analysis and what they've found and how the code executes and all those bits and pieces. So you got to see it from two sides. Like, obviously, there is always the PR side. Like, they're all, like, again, like, we are 3CX partners, and we actively support the platform, and I've got no problem continuing to use the platform. And we're not suggesting people move away from the platform. It is a solid platform. It's built on great foundations. I don't necessarily think with this particular instance, and this exploit, it could have happened on a client's network. It could have also happened on 3CX network. It could have happened ultimately anywhere with what was executed. Like, there would have been ways to do that no matter what. It's just obviously the way it has happened. It's happened, again, you've mentioned, as I said, through a 3CX staff member. So, the thing with cybersecurity in general, like, it's always about lateral movement. It's about going from here to here to here, then here and across to getting to the end goal, to getting to the honeypot. And you're right, that happens with everyone. It can be, whether you're a multinational company or whether, you know, you're literally a mom and dad shop, like, and people go, as you talk about the whole thing, like, oh, you know, go, oh, what's happened to a multinational? Well, this, and maybe sometimes people think that it can't happen to them.
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. Like, you know, the way that cyber criminals do this is they do it at scale, and they do it at scale so that they can make money at scale. And so that even if you're got 5 employees in your business, they've still got ways, again, because they're doing it at such a large scale, they do that to 10,000 other people, then they can easily generate that revenue. So, but really with 3CX, I mean, 3CX in terms of what they advise. Sam, tell us, what they basically recommend that clients do. And
yeah, so 3CX basically advised all customers and clients to, if you use the Windows or Mac desktop application, to uninstall it until they are ready to patch a new version, which I believe they already have.
You know, I think they've now got a support, like a version which has basically resolved that vulnerability, but their latest, well, they still have it in their press release to recommend to uninstall, but there is now, as far as I understand, I believe there is actually a updated patch which allows you to continue to utilize the Windows application. Notwithstanding that, I would still recommend to people that there are better ways to deliver a desktop experience for your phone system while still utilizing 3CX. I wouldn't necessarily, the thing is these days, particularly with the web client is solid.
Yeah, the web client
Web client works in any browser, well, almost any browser. We certainly recommend a Chromium-type browser for the best experience. But it'll certainly work on any operating system out of the box. You know, it's far easier to deploy. It's a far more effective way of delivering that same experience without having to physically install applications. So what I'd be suggesting to clients, if you do utilize 3CX, and if you're within that 1% or 2% that do use the desktop application, which, again, none of our clients do, I would suggest utilizing the web-based application, because I feel like that's always going to be, because there's only so much code you can execute these days, particularly like back in the day, it was really easy to execute malicious code accidentally in web browsers, but the technology has improved a lot. I'm not saying it's still foolproof. There's plenty of ways to, you know, particularly if you go to the wrong website and someone sets something up, but certainly there are plenty of, there are more protections these days in the web browser than there ever was. So I would be suggesting to people that the web client is where it's at, and I would be just not using the desktop application at all. It's fair to say that, you know, if you haven't been affected by this, the chances are you would know if you've been affected. So you would know if you've had an instance in most cases. Now, if you don't have any cybersecurity measures in place at all, maybe you might not be aware at all, right? Certainly with what the measures that we put in place, we can very easily identify it. Now, one of our partners has actually put together a PowerShell script.
Yeah.
And we'll actually share this in the link of the podcast, which actually allows you to run that on your device to determine whether you've actually got a vulnerable version of 3CX installed on the workstation. It's very easy then to go through and basically deploy that across an entire environment if you want to just be certain to make sure that you are locked in and secured. So I guess in summary, malicious actors that have effectively been able to do something a little bit nasty with an application. The application isn't heavily used as part of 3CX in most instances. There are ways to mitigate against it. And ultimately, I think it's just really, it's a good reminder that it can happen at any time, and any of your vendors, you know, we always think about, you know, you can't just take it for granted. Like, even like we know for us, right, like, and I was talking about this last night, you know, the thing is, you cannot take it for granted that you're not going to potentially be a target, for one.
Yeah, of course.
But you've also got to be thinking about you know, what is the worst case scenario. Like, if something happens, if we get exploited, what's the worst case? What can happen? And try to work towards mitigating against those worst case measures in whatever practical ways you can. And there are a range of different tools that you can implement. Again, like, we're very big on what we do with the cybersecurity side of it, and you know, utilizing MDR platforms to actually go through and almost, you know, like semi-SOC type environments to monitor these things and provide cybersecurity advice. Like, you've kind of got to get to that stage these days. You know, you can't just run on an antivirus and backup and hope like hell you've got a reliable cybersecurity strategy. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, no.
And
I mean, at the end of the day, most, if not all, antiviruses are going to be almost useless against zero-day attacks. Like, if someone invents something today, and or stumbles across a vulnerability today and decides to do something about it, your antivirus isn't going to know about it. Not yet.
But even the great thing about, well, I'm saying great, but the interesting thing about attacks like these is that you won't even initially notice it anyway. So the only reason why like guys like CrowdStrike and Huntress and these guys have picked it up is because they've looked at the behaviors of what looks to be legitimate processes and what's actually going on. You go, so they're looking for unusual things where they've actually got human intervention physically looking at these threats to analyze why is it acting like that. It's acting a little bit suspicious. Now, to an extent, AI can do some of these things, but it can only go so far. The human brain is still the global leader in threat hunting, and I think it will be for some time to come. And I think that's really, like, you know, again, like your antivirus isn't going to protect you against that. The only thing that can really protect you is to have, you know, again, the full suite of your MDR SOC type platforms to be able to have people that are actively looking at those threats and or looking at those legitimate processes and going, well, is that legitimate or is that not? And that's how we've been able to identify these types of instances. And I think, unfortunately, I feel like this stuff's going to become more and more common.
I think it definitely will.
Late last year, we saw a lot of this and we're starting to see more and more of it. And we know that we can't mitigate against that with the antivirus. We know that, you know, backups in these instances aren't going to do anything. It's great you've got backups, but they're not going to help in these types of instances.
In some of the more recent larger data breaches, I think some of that data that did get released, I think is going to be used as well. I think things are going to come across a lot more legitimate. And they're not going to be. Yeah. So I think it's even more so than ever that we all just need to do our due diligence when on the internet and especially when using work resources.
That's I think that's the big takeaway. Like when you think about it, and it was, as we spoke about in the last episode, we talked a lot about the Optus data breach and the amount of records that are now potentially available out there on the dark web of people's names, addresses, date of birth, phone numbers, that type of stuff. Unfortunately, you know, because the problem is we're now in this data collection world, right, where everyone's collecting massive amounts of data, but they're not protecting and looking after it in the right manner. And people don't really know. They go, oh, well, you know, Optus, sorry, let's take a Woolworths, for example, Woolworths X, they've got the biggest loyalty program in the country. Imagine if that information got out into the dark web.
Well, and something just recently was Latitude Finance.
Yeah.
Just the amount of information. Just think about the amount of information you've got to give to go for any kind of loan, and then you look at how much Latitude Finance owns.
Yeah.
How many credit card companies, how many, you know, buy now, pay later companies they own, how many fingers in how many pots do they have? Like, there's a lot of information they had.
And I think that's the thing. On a lot of people. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the problem. Ultimately, you know, that's right. If someone happens to be poor bastard, if they're a Latitude customer, they're Medibank Private, or they're Optus or whatever, you could just find their entire, everything about their information all across the dark web. And you could do all kinds of crazy things to that poor person. I really hope there isn't anyone out there like that, because I think they'll be having a very bad time.
Yeah.
But hopefully they don't have all the three or four combinations of those individual companies. But it is going to be one of those things as some of these bigger data breaches happen, it's going to make it easier for the smaller ones, but it's just going to make it, you know, we're going to see more and more of this, unfortunately. And I think, again, like, it's about due diligence. I think really one of the takeaways I would say as well is that it's definitely worthwhile to start investing in cybersecurity awareness training with your staff. I noticed in a lot of the cybersecurity insurance forms, everyone's talking about, again, training. And I feel like that's going to be one of those things, just raising the bar, right, a little bit overall for everyone's own understanding of what cybersecurity is and why it's important. I think as a takeaway, I feel like if you try and improve everyone's overall cybersecurity understanding, I think that'll make a big difference for all organizations in general. Do you have any other takeaways, Sam?
It actually kind of, the cybersecurity awareness training stuff reminds me a little bit of that sort of hostile, like dobbing your kids into the police or getting the cops to come around and like throw them in the back of the paddy wagon or something just to scare them. You know, it's kind of the same. You know, you catch out staff members entering their details into dodgy websites, and then you go and put their passwords on their desk and be like, what? Like, and that's what it comes down to. What we need is, unfortunately, we have a very large number of the workforce using computers these days, and not all of them, actually probably quite a large chunk of them, are not over any of this kind of thing. You know, most of their cybersecurity thing they probably get from mainstream media. So, yeah, you know, what yeah. social media are posting, what are like, you know, what's the Murdochs posting about this sort of stuff. That's the kind of thing that most people are hearing this information from. So, yeah, as Ben was saying, I think it's extremely important to start doing cybersecurity awareness training in the workplace if you have not already.
And again, just going back to the summing up with 3CX. So again, I would suggest to clients to utilize the web client if you do need to utilize functionality on your PC. I would suggest that this threat, ultimately, they have gotten on top of it. I don't believe that, again, they've got a total of 600,000 customers. Some of those are very, very big global clients. There isn't like there, again, I don't believe that we've got an exposure of 600,000 clients and all that. Yeah. That's definitely not the case with what's happened here, but there's certainly, I think 3CX had a little bit of a fright and I feel like there are going to be some changes with that. But I would just say in general as well, phone systems can be a target. Typically when we've seen targets for phone systems and cybersecurity, it's normally actually to get access to the SIP credentials to be able to fake phone calls out from clients, actual owned phone systems. Yeah, as legitimate. So that's traditionally where cybersecurity comes in on the phone site. They actually, if they compromise someone's phone system, they can send out calls from that phone system as legitimate and do all kinds of nasty things with that. So in general, when we're talking about issues with the phone system, that's the kind of thing you need to look out for. But I think in this specific instance, all I would suggest to clients is to download the web app. You don't even need to use the Windows app. There's no reason to use it. 3CX have some great integrations with Microsoft 365 as well. So there are a myriad of other different ways you can do it. And look, I think overall, the core of the phone system, the IPBX system itself, is more than secure. It's a Debian-based system. There's no issues with how it runs. There's been no cybersecurity issues in relation to the base platform itself. Yeah. So it really just comes down to how you use the platform. And if you use it, again, leverage the web client, I think you can have no dramas with it. It is a good platform. They have made, again, some recent updates and changes. And I think that's really that. But I think, again, it's just a reminder for people to stay vigilant and continue to increase the overall cybersecurity posture of every single staff member, not just the IT guys, not just one or two people. It's got to be everyone's got to raise the bar a little bit.
So something I would like to raise is and question, Ben, is if you were a user of the Windows app, is just uninstalling it enough, or should you speak to your 3CX provider / IT service provider or anything like that, or are you safe just to uninstall and merrily work on?
So it's an interesting question. So one of the things that in some of the cybersecurity exploits, the reports they were talking about was that it would stay dormant for 7 days before it would execute the code. I would suggest that if it has already executed some malicious code, and if you don't have the right cybersecurity measures in place, it could have really already potentially have done some damage, or you may have already had some kind of breach. So you're right, uninstalling the application after the fact isn't really going to do much. I think it's interesting. I think if you're not certain, I think you should, again, you should certainly engage someone who has specializes in cybersecurity. Love IT. And they can go through that with you in a more detailed approach. But certainly uninstalling the application will prevent it from updating and from accessing those malicious servers, notwithstanding that some of those malicious servers are now offline. But I wouldn't be certain that uninstalling it, and I'd be certain that it's actually absolutely hunky-dory. I would still be going through doing
making
a bit of a cybersecurity
sure
audit.
Okay.
And I'd still be going through, make sure everything's actually okay. So I'd be running through the MDR software. I'd be engaging with my threat ops guys to make sure that we actually don't have any malicious payloads still on those devices that may have had that software on there. So, so there is certainly a chance that you could be infected and not know it if you don't have the right cybersecurity measures in place. So I would certainly advise to, as you said, reach out, just have a bit of a chat, just to make sure that you are across that. If you do have a decent cybersecurity posture, you uninstall the application, then chances are, if there was something, you might have known about it, and there wouldn't be any issues. But certainly, again, in our cases, I would say that there may only be single digits of percentage in clients that would be
actually
utilizing.
Yeah.
So I think in the scope of things, this isn't going to be a massive issue for 3CX. But I still really think, again, it's just another reminder of why we've got to be as diligent as ever, and we have to stay on top of these things at all times. So
I think we've covered everything, mostly everything there. I mean, I think it comes down to these sorts of things. And I mean, we could go very deep down into the rabbit hole and discuss all the different ways that they got in, what the software was doing, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just staying at a high level, I think you've pretty much touched on everything there.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to say exactly what DLLs and stuff were injected and how that update worked there. If people want to, there's plenty of information out there on the web on how that works. Yeah. Really, I think what's important is to understand how it worked and essentially what you need to do to mitigate against that. And I think we've covered that quite well today. And you've got some really good advice there on what to do as next steps. And for those that may be affected.
And as always, if you're absolutely unsure and your IT doesn't seem like they're all that interested,
they know either. Yep.
we've got a lovely bunch of experts here at Club IT. Many, many years of experience with both 3CX and some cybersecurity. We work with lots of great teams all over the world. So,
awesome. Nice little plug there
just
again.
Just got a foot.
That's good. All right. Well, thanks everyone again. We will be doing this far more often now with our fancy new podcast studio. So you'll see us again at some stage in the next fortnight with episode 3. So I'm Ben.
And I'm Sam.
And we'll see you guys next time. And hopefully I'm going to press the right button. It's been a while. There.